this morning's message especially, we're going to realize how very real and how relevant it really is to all of us. This morning, we are going to especially think of one Mr. William Kang. William Kang is the father of Andy Kang, and he has not been able to come to worship for quite a while now. First, he has a really serious glaucoma problem. He is virtually blind. And those of us who are watching and fighting glaucoma, we can really feel with him. It's one of those problems that you need to look at very carefully. Secondly, he's in hospital right now because of pneumonia. His heart is affected. He can barely walk a few steps, and he is breathless. His kidneys are not functioning well. They're trying to get him stabilized enough for him to go for dialysis. And this is not something fun to look at, and it comes, unfortunately, with age as well. And so we just, take a moment just to remember him and realize that he, this is a problem that, and as we age in Singapore, this is going to become a rising problem in time to come. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we think of William Kwang right now and how stressed, distressed he must be. We think of the family and all the challenges which are there. And we pray that you will teach us how we can support with reference to praying for him and the family. We pray that you will grant your grace and your mercy to the family at this time of distress, and help us to be mindful of what we ought to look at as well in our faith and in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we look at life very carefully, let us turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 9 this morning. And this has been the basically the theme for this months of May and June. Thus says the Lord says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight. These are the two texts, two verses that we read in Jeremiah chapter 9. Sometimes we think and we take for granted that the things that we take in Singapore for granted. Let me look at the three things that, we basically search for. Maybe in the reverse order. In old Israel, the order was seek wisdom. Do you know that this is still something that Jewish mothers tell the children? The first thing you want to look for, if you can be my son, they will tell the son, be a rabbi, steep in knowledge, wisdom. And if you can't be a doctor. And if you can't be any of the above, be a filmmaker. But do you know that this is actually true very much in the U.S. today? You go to New York, you see any huge building, tell me which one doesn't belong to a Jew. Look at the filmmakers today. All the Spielberg, every time you see a Berg somewhere, chances are you're going to see that person has Jewish ancestry. And they take this seriously. They take what the mothers say to them very, very seriously. today, maybe mothers don't make the same kind of impression or impact on our children, perhaps. But perhaps fathers, perhaps our whole society. And we look for these three things as well. Right? Which is how we tell our children to study. Go ahead, study. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Go ahead, study. Be clever. Do well. Excel. Because we know if you don't even get your basic degree, you're not even going to be able to do very much in life. When we were children, we were told, you know, if you don't study hard, you're going to work in a kopitiam. Now you can't say that because the owners are kopitiam people. And you can't say that anymore. Right? So this is the problem. We tell the children, work hard, be this. And if not, rise up in might. Be somebody powerful. Be somebody rich. Isn't it what we all almost focus on today? The same three things. The wealth part, the wisdom or the knowledge part, and of course, there is this whole idea of being wealthy. I think that's always there. You know, smart is when you see an 11 or 8-year-old boy taking Rubik's Cube and rearrange it in less than 9 seconds. Mine just sit on a table. That's about it. If I can do one side, very good. All four sides, that's pretty amazing. And, you know, you begin to realize, you know, maybe you just tell yourself, you know, when I was 11 years old, 8 years old, I could do that. Not now. See, the fingers are clumsy. Let's admit it. Not everybody has the smarts to be up there. But what's the problem? So a person is rich. So a person is mighty. So a person is smart. Do you know there are drawbacks? There are serious drawbacks in some of these things here. And one of the biggest drawbacks is found in chapter 9. And look at verse 3. They do not know me. Does it make a difference whether we know the Lord or we don't? Does it make a difference? What the Lord says, let him who glories. You know, we all glory in something or other. We all glory in one thing or one way or the other. We know this. And we, you know, it's almost a part of our being human beings. But the question is, what do we glory in? See, if we are looking for wealth, we either reach it or we don't. And if we do reach the amount of wealth that you have, what do we do with it? I think this is something that we need to think about very, very, very carefully. What is it all about? Supposing we have wealth, supposing we have wisdom, supposing we have the might that we have, and we are now high-powered. What does that mean? And begin at the end of it all, the biggest challenge is whether we really know God. Well, let's take a look at what happens when the people had all these three things. Were there wise people in Israel? Yes. Were there people who were mighty? Yes. Were there people who were wise in all the things? You have all three categories in Israel then. But what happened to the nation? Watch. Let's take a look at chapter 9. Okay? Verse 3. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. Lying becomes a part of life. Are they valiant for truth? They're not. Verse 3. They proceed from evil to evil. They do not know me. Sometimes you look at the people, we're looking at the people who are wealthy and they are mighty and they are full of knowledge. And what are they very skilled at? This. They tell lies. Deceit. That's how they got there. That's how a lot of power, a lot of might, a lot of wealth a mess in the world today. And they hide all the money wherever they can. You see, this problem is not just the day of Israel. It's a problem that we have today too. Verse 4, everyone take heed to his neighbor. Don't trust any brother. Every brother will utterly supplant. Every neighbor will walk with slanderers. They will deceive the neighbor. They will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to tell lies. Isn't that true? In almost every community, you can't even trust your neighbor. You can't trust your brother. Yesterday's papers, there was a grandmother who's going to sue the grandchildren because they want to sell whatever the house that she lives in. And you know what? It's not going to stop. Parents who sell their flats and everything else so that the children can go overseas to get educated, they don't come back. And they're left with nothing to fall back on. And a lot of the people says, well, you know, this is our God-given task. We have to support our children. And the children who don't grow up with knowledge of God, they grow up and they say, so what? You owe it to me. And they don't care. You see, the whole problem has to do with they do not know me. I think this is a problem that we're going to take a look at. Look at some of the things that we see. Look at the challenges that are there. The knowledge of God or the lack of it will affect us. And this was a problem. They will be given to lies. They will not be valiant for truth. They will proceed from evil to evil. They will just deceive each other. Verse 13, take a look. You know what else they will do? They have forsaken my law, which I set before them. They have not obeyed my voice. They have not walked according to it. So when they reject God out of the picture, when they take God out of the equation, what happens next? How do they live? By the dictates of their own hearts. That's how it is. Okay, so whatever it is, in verse 14, the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baals which their fathers taught them. So what happens? How are we what we are? Our parents taught us. And we learn. We don't even think whether it is right or is wrong anymore. It doesn't matter to us. And that can be very, very, very scary. And that's what happens. So the sense of that which is good and that which is right before their eyes is now no longer the case. And this happens to just about everybody. It happened in the days of Israel, in the days of Jeremiah. It happens even today. Where are we today? Seriously. And we're not taking heed properly, are we? And so the Lord says, don't glory in these things here. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. And yet these are the three things we put to our children. This is what you should be. This is what you should become. What if that's wrong? What if that model is wrong? What if that the whole agenda is entirely wrong? What if that happens and then we end up with nothing but problems and difficulties? And so people are caught up with scams. They make money in every way they can. They sell whatever products they can. They make huge amounts of money any way they can, even if the products are of doubtful value. It's a question of how you sell it. And that's what happens, isn't it? And so we have all kind of multi-layering of all kinds of these things here. And we still practice it today, unfortunately. What do we do? What do we do next? The consequences of taking God out of the picture must be faced. So when we take a look at what the Lord says, this is what happens. Okay? This is what will happen. Verse 15. when we don't understand God, when we don't know God, when we don't increase in the knowledge of God, what will happen? Look at verse 15. Behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. Literally, it means bitterness. Look at the threat of financial meltdowns today. What happens if there is going to be a meltdown? And then we're going to get caught again. The financial crisis looming up could be even greater to 2007, 2008. What then? See, the seriousness of it all, the bitterness of it all, is something we don't seem to have learned. We learn it perhaps for that year. Come next year, it's all forgotten again. And this is a problem that we're going to see. Verse 16, I will scatter them also among the Gentiles, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And there we go. They will be scattered, the diaspora. They have never seen the world more scattered than it is today. Do you know how many languages are spoken in L.A.? Spoken or written? L.A. You guess. In the latest count, there are over 150 languages spoken in that city alone. 150 and counting. Everybody is scattered all over the world. We call it job opportunity, we call it whatever we want, but the danger is still there. And for Israel, it was worse. Verse 16, I will send a sword after them until I have consumed them. The crisis that is here and now of migration is a serious issue. There are millions of people out there, and they have no place to go, and we don't know what to do with them. No country has any solution. Germany has said, let's open the doors. Suddenly, they have a million people who are coming in. Look at the Scandinavian countries. Everybody wants to go there. You know, even if you've got nothing, the government takes care of you. You know, you have enough money to spend. You have housing. You have opportunities. You have everything that is there. And everybody is fleeing there, whether or not they have real reason to be there. In the meantime, millions of people are dying as well, in conflict and in a way out. Where is God in all these things? There is no knowledge. There is no turning to God. There is nothing that is there. I hope you understand this. This is why the Lord says, let him who glories, glory in this. And we need to understand the greater danger. Look at verse 17 to 22. Call out for the mourning women, let that they may come. These were professional mourners, and they were being asked to come. And so that their eyes may run with tears, eyelids gush with water. Verse 19, they're going to cry out, we are plundered, greatly ashamed. We have forsaken the land. We've been cast out of our dwellings. Death has come through the windows to kill off the children, the young men no longer on the streets. And we have seen death. In fact, there are more people who have died today than they have died in the Second World War. The statistics are staggering when you come to read about these things here. And you cannot but ask, where is God? United Nations is not God. European Union is not God. The ASEAN bloc is not God. There is no country that has a solution to any of these problems. But mankind has just obliterated any idea of the need to turn to God. It's not important. The lack of knowledge of God, the lack of the pursuit of the knowledge of God is so great. And yet everybody is thinking, here is the next big thing. This is the next new kid on the block. Then we're going to have them. And I think this is something that we are looking at all the time. Yeah, everybody's thinking, this is a great idea. And you keep on looking at great ideas. They're now supplying food. You just call this number. And they will bring the thing, everything prearranged, done for you. And there are hundreds of thousands of people on those things there, on this program, in Europe and in the US. They're not making money yet. They're hoping to one of these days. So it's called a billion-dollar company because there are investors who have pumped in $100 million, but they can't make it work. Twitter has not made any money either. And so on and so forth. They're all trying, how can we make money out of the whole thing? Let not the rich man glory in his riches. All that glitters, we say, is not gold. At the end of the road, what do we have? Nothing. We're still looking at problems. We are still looking at death. We're looking at a lot of these things which are going to be it. Now, of course, in Singapore, the greatest news scare is Zika. One person has Zika. The whole nation says, maybe Zika. Everybody is worried about Zika next. Every mosquito, Zika. Is this a Zika mosquito? Everybody's worried about that. From one small thing, and it will spread. And the world is just not prepared for that. Where is God in any of these things? The world was not ready for Ebola. The world is not ready for Zika either. There are no vaccines for things like that. And no vaccines very well for Ebola. You know why? Because there's no money to be made from spending money and research for that kind of thing. The Africans are not going to be able to afford those things. So why make them? Why research them? Until today, tens of thousands of people have died. And you know what? There is no... Right now, it's Passover, but that's about it. It will come back again. The Ebola is not a new thing. The first time it was alerted was in the 70s, when one of the missionary doctors died from it. It was then called fever. They couldn't figure out why. And they found that it was a monkey that carried this particular thing here. And the monkey had bit one of the children playing out there. And then the child died. Then the doctor who looked after died. And it was then they began to be alert. That's 30 years ago, 40 years ago. You know what? Nothing has been done further. And so we're going to see death coming. We're going to see punishment coming. We're going to see, in other words, the consequences of the fact that we don't pay attention to God. And I fear very much that I am speaking to a situation, to a congregation, to Singaporeans who are still chasing these three things in Singapore. You know what we're chasing after? Wealth. You know what we're chasing after? Knowledge. You know what we're chasing after? Might. And as long as we keep chasing all these things and exclude God, we are going to see consequences that are going to hurt us and our nation. And I think everybody is worried. We are all concerned. We are concerned about the leadership that will come. When Mr. Heng, Mr. Minister Heng, gets ill, everybody's concerned. It's not just about his health. The greatest concern is, what about our nation? What about our country? Who will lead us? If only we will understand that we should look for God instead. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and he knows me. We need people who will know God. But you know, three areas were highlighted. One, loving kindness. Two, we're talking about judgment. Three, we're talking about righteousness. Why are these things the focus? Because it will affect the person and the nation as well. For whatever we pursue, that's what the Lord tells us, wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there too. So if our treasure are in these things, our heart will be chasing after those things. So they are clever children, but they are godless children. So they are rich children, but they are people devoid of the knowledge of God. So what do they have? They're going to pass it on to their children. They're going to end up with a godless society. And this is sweeping the world today. And everybody is running scared. But nobody wants to say, we need to know God. There was a day and age in the 18th century where people spoke about God openly. It was a day and age when Oxford and Cambridge and Princeton and Harvard and Youth Penn produced scholars who became pastors and teachers. Did you know that? Do you know that most of these people produced Greek scholars? These were the people who wrote grammar books in the early days to help people to understand the scriptures. Today, none of these things, none of these universities, they still have a religious department. That's about it. They don't produce godly scholars anytime anymore. And I think we need to understand what this is all about. In chapter 9, in verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them. I will try them. That is the only way out. The Lord has to refine us sometimes through the problems that we face. Sometimes through the difficulties that we encounter. And then this we recognize is the Lord's way of refining us. And He needs to refine us to do what? And in 9:24, the answer is found here. Let him who glories, glory in this. That he understands me, that he knows me. Sometimes we think, well, I know God already. Do you? You know, many people think, well, I already have knowledge of God. I already have faith in God. I'm already a believer. I am already baptized. I'm a member of the church. And you know, we put a ceiling there and we say, that's it. I've arrived. No, you have not. That is so much. You know, there is so much about this that we all need to know. You know, as I was writing to Andy yesterday about his father, you know, about his glaucoma problem, about his kidney function, about his heart problem, it was almost as if I was speaking about myself in the years to come. Because I have to use eye drops to bring the IOP down. Because if I don't, I could end up with glaucoma one of these days. My doctors are very concerned, so they always have this special test on me to find out how my kidney is functioning. And they said, you know, it must be 60 and above. And I have never reached 60. And he says, you've got to watch it. And he says, I want you to drink lots and lots of water. I don't care where you are, just drink. You know, I literally consume 8 bottles of Evian every day. Literally. And even then, it is not anywhere close to what it is. And then we look at it, and you ask yourself, how do we face a future? So when Jacob talked about 62 and beyond, you know, is that life? It's going to be tough one way or the other. How are we going to face the future? I think we have got problems, right? The problem of health. Our eyesight's going to fail. Our hearing is going to go. Our kidneys are going to be affected. Our heart is going to be there. A real challenge. You can die almost any time. You can have a heart attack. You can have a stroke. And there is nothing you can do to literally prevent this thing here. How do we live? And you know, it is the knowledge of God, the seeking to understand God, the seeking to know God better that makes us come alive to any given situation. So this is my problem. So what do I do with this thing? I think all of us in that category. As we grow older, we're not going to be able to run marathons. We're not going to be able to go out there and, you know, even if you want to be employed, nobody is going to employ you. I know life is going to get more and more costly. And it's going to be tough. It really is going to be tough. How do we face all these things? This is the answer. Let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and he knows me. You know, I got the people at AM Bethany on Saturday afternoon to memorize the Lord's word. And hopefully they will memorize texts that will be meaningful to their heart. And this is what the Lord said in the book of Psalm 91 in verse 14 to 16. I wonder whether those who are there will be able to recite this right now. You want to try? For just to show to everybody that you can. Or for that matter, you can't. And it's not easy, but that's what the Lord promises, isn't it? The Lord says, what does it say in Psalm 91, 14 and 16? Because he has set his love upon me, the Lord said. This is what happens. You see, when we understand God better, when we know him better, you know what will happen? We will understand, we tend to love the Lord. Because he has set his love upon me, the Lord says, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. You don't need to go the way of the riches and the knowledge and that might. The Lord will raise you on high to wherever you want to be because you know his name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will honor him and deliver him. The Lord tells us very, very clearly, deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him. How long do you want to live? With long life, I will satisfy him. Why? And I will show him my salvation. Seven needed blessings in our life. That is our challenge. You know, when you read the Lord's word, when you are troubled and you cannot sleep at night, and I think as we grow older, we begin to realize there is something missing inside us. And we try and sleep. And we think, after a certain time, coffee cannot drink. After a certain time, tea cannot drink. After a certain time, water cannot drink. After we're going to go to the toilet. You know, these are problems. And we recognize it. Young people, they always say, I used to say, what's the problem? I can't say that now. Now, people who can't sleep, I pray for them. I sympathize with you. I shake your hand and I say, I understand you. You know, when you cannot sleep at night, you know what I do? I don't count sheep. I don't. I talk to the shepherd instead. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I mean, literally, I memorize and I just recite the Lord's word. Some 100, some 103, some 23, some. The point of it all, hide the Lord's word in your heart. And so he gives his beloved sleep. We might as well take the trouble to do that. Can it be done? That would be the wisest thing we could ever do. To let him who glories, if there is anything to glory about, use it. I told them, AM does not Alzheimer member. It is very, very important. And many of us are going to have Alzheimer's. We're going to have dementia. When we can really work harder at it to prevent it. Is it possible? And I want to be that example for you. Because I'm 66. My hair is still the same color. And I am not using any dye. I'm not using anything out there. From time to time, maybe some kiwi. You know, as I polish my shoes, I may just do that. But apart from that, I don't do anything else. You know, I am going to determine to prove that what the Lord said is right. Let him who glories, glory that he understands and he knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. That's our challenge, because we've tried the way of the world, the way of riches, the way of wealth, the way of might, and they have failed us. We are no better in the world for having pursued these things. Let's try another way. Let's try the Lord's way. The Lord tells us, let him who glories in this, that he understands, that he knows me, that I am the Lord. And I'm going to try to encourage you. I started memorizing the Lord's word when I was a teenager. I have not stopped. And I want to encourage you to do this. It's not memorizing for this Sunday. Let's memorize this Bible verse. It's memorizing for life. And that's how it will help you. You will keep your heart and your mind strong when there may be moments of depression instead. Well, let's try and do this. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will refine us, indeed chastise and discipline us, so that we will set aside time each day, every day, to understand you better, to know you, and to hide your word in our hearts. Forgive us when we are indolent, when we are so distracted that we do not understand why we should take control of our life. May pray that you will speak to our hearts. Help us to look up to you. Help us to become that man that you will bless sevenfold. And I pray that you will hear this, our prayer. Bless us, Father, as we give this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.